Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Her daddy looked a lot like him. That's not the way I had him pictured. But Santa was much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Now Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Her daddy looked a lot like him.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dr. Lauren C. Scott, president of Lauren Scott & Associates. Let's start with the sane EPA comment, where obviously the mainstream media is reporting that the way they're framing it, he's a denier of the climate change and the religion of environmentalism. I'll just call it that, because quite honestly, I look at the environmentalism as a religion. Personally, I happen to agree with Michael Crichton, one of the great writers of our generation, who firmly was against climate change. He said it's happening, but humans have little impact of it. And to actually have enough arrogance to say that you know what the temperature is going to be in 200 years is ridiculous. You can't name it next week. You know, and this was Al Gore's roommate in college saying this stuff. So is that where you're coming at? Is a more of a denial against climate change, or more of a pragmatic approach to how we're going to implement the EPA as opposed to an agency rather than a religion? Does that make any sense?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm only going to be in the car for another 2 hours. I don't know if I have enough time to cover what I think. But I'm firmly in the same camp with Crichton. And I think what happens when you can't prove, I think you can't prove something finally, which you can't do with virtually anything in science. You can't prove something finally. When you find somebody that's opposing you, you give them a name, a bad name. And so in this particular case, anybody who doesn't join the religion, and I think you're exactly correct, I think it is religion, anyone who doesn't join the religion is given a really bad name. And in this case, the name is denier. And of course, the connotation is that it's settled and you're just denying the science. Just nonsense. So let me just point out a couple things. I taught forecasting for three and a half decades, the MBAs, the executive MBAs at LSU. I know something about forecasting, and when I've spoken up in North Dakota to groups, I've told them that forecasting the price of oil is the second most difficult thing in the economy to forecast. It's wildly variable. You got tough countries that are running things like OPEC and Saudis, et cetera. But the most difficult thing to forecast out there is the weather. And the idea that you can build a model to forecast the weather 30 years into the future, it's frankly, from a scientific standpoint and statistical standpoint, absurd. And one of the ways we know this is absurd is look at the record of the forecasters, what they said was going to happen versus what has happened since they began to do their models. All their models have grossly overestimated what was going to happen, and that is because they can't forecast it. They don't know how to do that well. It's too wildly variable to do that. As a matter of fact, on the very first Earth Day, about 33 years ago, it's kind of instructive to go back and look at what the headline said on the first Earth Day 33 years ago. The headline 33 years ago said, "Man-made global cooling is going to destroy the Earth. We don't do something about it." Go back and look it up. That's exactly what it says. And, of course, when it didn't turn out to be global cooling, things kind of warmed up a bit. Then we say, oh, now it's man-made global warming. And then when the globe quit warming so much, then they came up with another term. I want you people out there who believe in science to think about this term for just a minute. Climate change. How scientific is that? The climate is going to change. Duh. Everybody knows that. Now, if you're 30 years old and you're watching forest fires and you're watching droughts in certain areas and floods in other areas, you think, golly, this is disastrous. But if you're 75 years old, like I am, you've seen this stuff. I know this is nothing new. You've seen this stuff. And to me, the phrase climate change is one of the most unscientific phrases on the planet. So, as you can tell from this, I feel pretty fervently about this, and I just think it's one of the greatest ruses that's ever been perpetrated on mankind. And I think the reason for that is that under the Obama administration in particular, here's what you do. Follow the money. Follow the money of people who are promoting this, and what you will find is it all goes back. The only way you're going to get money out of the Obama EPA is if you build models to support the idea of climate change. I just think it's a huge hoax.
Transitioning.
I should have held back, shouldn't I? I should have held back with my feelings.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel. but transitioning to that a little bit, what I'm seeing is with this EPA pick in his cabinet is that it goes outside of oil and gas, and you might start to see some relaxing on the coal industry, which whether people are in favor of coal or not in favor of coal, asking any industry for a 20 to 50% increase in productivity in 1 year is absurd, is absolutely absurd. And to expect a technology to move that quickly at that expense, I, in fact, Senator Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota, who's a Democrat, even called that absurd as well. So it's not a political issue at all. It's just a, hey, increase this by 20%, go. And you've been in business long enough to know that that's difficult to do and then to mandate it. So what I'm starting to see here is, if you look at the last decade, the mining industry is really the only industry that's added jobs. And so if the EPA can loosen up some of the restrictions, might we see coal start to add jobs, or are we going to see oil and gas start to add jobs again too? Because really the mining industry is the backbone of the job creator in this country. Your thoughts?
Well, number one, I think coal has got a problem anyway. Separate and apart from the environmental thing and the attempt by the Obama administration to shut it down, coal already had something of a problem because of the low price of natural gas. The plenty of the fact that natural gas is very plentiful and it's relatively inexpensive has just created a problem for coal in general. But I mean, I do think my position would be, let the market work this out. Okay, don't let government do it. Let the market do this, and we have not done that. We have mandated what's going to happen. Anytime the government starts mandating what's going to happen, you got problems. It's always kind of amusing to me sometimes. People ask me, what do you think we need to do for a national energy policy? And my response to that has always been, wait a minute. Have you kind of followed what happens whenever the federal government decides it wants to have an energy policy? They always do some of the dumbest things that you can think of. My position would be, get the federal government the heck out of the energy policy area. I mean, every time they try to do something, they screw it up. Just let the market work it out. Let the market decide if windmills or solar are going to be best. Let the market work out whether coal should go down and natural gas should take its place. I mean, every time somebody talks about let's have a national energy policy, I start to cringe because I'm old enough to have watched what happens every time the federal government starts dictating how things ought to be done.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spiesen. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I never saw a red-nosed reindeer like they show on the TV screens, but he sure brought lots of presents, so Santa Claus he must have been. But he sure looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
This week's Christmas music is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on the totally blind singer-songwriter Blind Joe, who was featured on NBC's hit show The Voice as part of Team Blake, or to purchase an acoustic country Christmas, visit his website, blindjoe.bandcamp.com. That's blindjoe.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com, Deadwood's newest legend.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.